Welcome to Rambam on the line of Project of Sichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the 20th chapter of Hilchas Eidus, the Laws of Testimony. This letter contains 10 halachas and continues with the law of Eidim Zeinanim. Perek Esrim, the 20th chapter, Halacha Aleph. To briefly review, the law of Eidim Zeinanim is that if a set of witnesses testifies against the defendant that he is required to pay money or that he should be put to death or something of the sort, and later on a second set of witnesses comes and invalidates this first set and says that at the day, at the moment, and at the place that they claim to have seen their testimony, they were actually with us in another place. The law of the Torah is we believe the second set of witnesses, and the first set of witnesses incur whatever punishment they had hoped to inflict with their false testimony upon a defendant. Should their testimony have resulted in death of the defendant, then they are put to death. Should it result in financial payment, then they are required to pay. Halacha Aleph. Ein edim zeinim in erogim, v'lei leikim, v'lei mashalmim. Edim zeinim are not put to death, nor lashed, nor forced to pay, ashiyu shneim ru'uyin la'edus, until both of them are valid witnesses, for yizeim u'shneim, and that both of them have this havzama, are invalidated in this way, acha shenigmar adin, after the judgment has already been completed. In other words, only after the first witnesses have had their testimony accepted, and the judgment has been already completed against the defendant. However, if only one of the two witnesses had this hazama against him, or even if it was both of them that had this hazama, but it was before the judgment has been concluded, or even if it was both of them, and it was after the din was completed, but one of the two was an invalid witness, they find him to be a relative or otherwise invalid, the law is that these witnesses cannot be punished until the both of them were found fit to testify, and both of them were huzam after gmar din. If not, they cannot be punished. And this is true, afal pisha huzmu v'niflu l'chol eidu shabateira. Even though the hazama is considered valid and they are possible for any other testimony in the entire Torah, nevertheless, this is only as far as invalidating them. As far as the punishment, one must have all of these conditions. Halacha beis. Nerag zeh she'idu alav v'achar kach huzmu. Let's say that not only the gemara did happen, but the person was already executed. And then after the person was executed, they were proved to be false witnesses. They were hazama afterwards. The law is einim nerogin min hadin, that you may not put these witnesses to death. And even though min hadin, by using the din, the judgment of kal v'chomer, you might say they should be put to death. Because if they did not succeed in having this person put to death, culture gain, even more so if they hadn't put to death, then they themselves should be put to death. The law is, however, that ein shem min hadin, utilizing a kal v'chomer, you cannot put somebody to death. And therefore, these witnesses may not be put to death as a result of your kal v'chomer. How do we know that witnesses who have become zeinanim cannot be put to death if the defendant has already been put to death? Shenemar, it says in Pasuk, Dvarim, Perek, Yitzes, Pasuk Yitzes, Shenemar, Kasher, Zomam, Laaseis, as they wish to do. And this means that when are they put to death? When they wish to do it, vadayim le'asa, and it has not yet been done. But if it has been done, then they are not put to death. But davar zeh mipi haKabbalah. This is by the Kabbalah from Har Sinai, the part of the oral tradition. But however, this exclusion only applies to the death penalty. Avolim lota zeh she'idu alav. However, if the person that they testified against got lashes as a result of their testimony, then waking, then the witnesses are also lashed. The Kenyan Yotza Hamamin, Miyadzeh, Liyadzeh, Beidusam. So too, if money was transferred from one person's possession to another as a result of their testimony, Chayzer Labayilav Mashalmin Lay, then it must be returned to the original owners, and then the Eidim are required to pay. The exclusion that they are not punished if the punishment of a defendant has been executed applies only to the death penalty and not other sorts of punishment. Halacha Gimel. If there were 3 witnesses, or even 100 witnesses, how do you do hazama on this group of witnesses? If they testified in court one after another, and really one after another immediately, and each one testified after the other in Tehkedei Dibur within the same breath, so to speak, as the Rambam will soon describe how long this is. But one testified immediately after the other. And a small group of them have had Hazam against them. Some of these witnesses were proven to have been in a different place than the time they claim to have seen the event. The law is aimed at Noshin Achiyuz Mokulam. These few witnesses that have become Zayimim cannot be punished until the entire group has become Huzam. One must make Hazam on every single one of the witnesses before any of them can be punished. However, this is all when it's considered like one big testimony, only when the witnesses testify one immediately after the other. However, if there was some sort of pause between one and another, which is more than Kedei Dibur, and the measurement of Kedei Dibur is as long as it would take a student to offer shalom to his Rebbe, as the measurement is given, the amount of time it takes him to say shalom alecha, Rebbe. If there was a delay of more than that brief period of time between one witness and another, at that moment you can split up their testimony as far as the laws of Azamah are concerned. And the two witnesses who have become zaymimi not punished, however, the other two witnesses that had some pause between their words and the words of the original witnesses who became Zainamim, these witnesses are not punished. And even though the entire testimony is now invalidated, because it's all considered like one large group, since they all came to Beis Din together, since part of it became possible, then the entire testimony became possible. It all must stand together. Should part of it fall, the entire testimony falls. However, only those that have become zayimim are punished. Halacha Dalet. One of the witnesses testified, and his edus was checked out. He went through chakira in court. For Hashemi, the second witness says, "Afani kamayu, I am just like him. I say the same thing." Or he says, "Hein," he says, "Yes." Similar to the first one, or in any similar case where he shows his agreement with the first witness. For who is the Mushneihem? And both of these two witnesses become Edim Zayimim, are proven by another set of witnesses who have been in another place at that time. Harishneihem Nerogim. Both of these witnesses are put to death, or lashed, or forced to pay whatever is the appropriate punishment for what they wish to inflict upon a defendant. Why? The second one didn't really testify. Because anyone that says after the other person's testimony, it is considered as if he has already testified and has been checked out, just as the first person has been checked out. Furthermore, another halacha, Eidim Zeimim do not have any excuse of being shegeg, of being unintentional. Because since there is no action involved in being an Eid Zeimim, through giving this false testimony, there's no act. Therefore, there's no way to distinguish between something which is mazy, intentional, and something which is shegeg, unintentional. And lafichach, therefore, ein tzrichim hasrak moshe biyadnu. Therefore, you don't have to give prior warning to the Eidim Zeimim before you are Zeimim them. That since there is the only reason for hasrak, warning someone, is to differentiate between shegeg and mazy, since in this case of Eidim Zeimim, even shegeg is sufficient, therefore there's no need for hasrak, there's no need for warning. Even if it was shegeg, it would also have the same punishment. Therefore, we do not need any hasrak. Halacha hei. Kashem Shashnaim is Zimin at Ameya, Imeidu Ameya Vapat Achas, just as two witnesses can be Mazim, even 100 witnesses, if 100 all testified together, as we said previously. So too, they can be mazim. Two witnesses can be mazim. All of the rest, even should they be separate groups, even 50 separate groups. That one group comes after another. Kesar, how is this? Witnesses that testify that Reuben killed Shimon in Yerushalayim. This is the first set of witnesses. And along come another set of witnesses and do hazama on this first set of witnesses. And along comes the second group. And along comes another set of witnesses, a second set, to exclude the ones that were mazing the first set. They come and they give the same testimony that Reuben killed Shimon Yerushalayim. And along come these same witnesses that did hazama on the first group of witnesses, they do hazama on the second group of witnesses. Became shlishis, became nervis, asilameya, so too to the third group and the fourth group. Even should there be 100 groups, kulameh neragim api elu ashrayim. All of these various groups are put to death according to the testimony of these two witnesses. And even though the case might appear to be very suspicious, how could there be 100 groups of witnesses all coming and testifying that they were, that they saw this act happen, and these two sets of witnesses are able to do azam on every single one of the 50 or 100 sets, however many it is. It seems that these two witnesses are perhaps lying and trying to save Reuben. Nevertheless, we believe them. This is the law of the Torah. We believe the second set of witnesses. And therefore, all of the other ones that they do azam on are all put to death. A group of witnesses that testified against Reuben that he killed Shimon in Yerushalayim. And along came a group of witnesses, the second group of witnesses, group number two, and they did hazama on the first group of witnesses. So the law is, as we mentioned previously, Yargo Aedim Azeim, Yerato Reuben. We kill the Edim Zaynim instead of witnesses number one, and Reuben is saved. However, let's say we go a step further. Let's say a third group of witnesses comes, and a third group of witnesses does Hazama on the second group of witnesses. So the second group of witnesses was trying to save Reuben, and they invalidated the first set of witnesses and had the first put to death. But now a third set comes along and does hazama on a second set of witnesses, on group number two. So group number two is going to be punished and they're going to be canceled out. So group number one is reinstated and Reuben is put to death. Therefore, the second group is put to death because they were found to be Zaymanin by the third group. And Reuben is also put to death because the testimony of the first witnesses has been reinstated. And the first set of witnesses is saved. They're not put to death. Let's go another step. Along comes the fourth group and does hazama on the third group. So what's going to happen over here? The third group has already become Zaymanin and they are put to death. Since they are invalidated, the second group is reinstated. And the second group is saved. What did the second group try to do? Invalidate the first group and save Reuben? So that's what happens. The first group is also put to death and Reuben is saved. So the conclusion is, the third group and the first group are put to death, and the Reuben and the second group are left free. And so to even 100 group of witnesses, 100 groups of witnesses, one of which is mazim the other, one group goes in, one group goes out, they alternate depending on who the last group of Edim Zaymin is, the fate of all the other subsequent ones will be determined. Halacha Zayin. So this halacha, we need to understand some basic law about the chi of Misa, of execution. The law is that if a person is a treifa, is incapable of living more than 12 months on his own, which is the general definition which is used, should have such a disease, he is considered a treifa. someone that kills a treifa, although he is certainly not allowed to do so, he himself may not be put to death. And since the treifa is considered in certain respects as being already dead, therefore his action of killing such a person will not justify the death penalty for him. Halacha Zayin. Eidim she'idu al ish treifa shaharak. Witnesses that testified on somebody that was a treifa, that he himself is that the suspected murderer is a treifa, and it testified that he killed somebody. V'huzmu, and then these witnesses that testified that the treifa killed, they themselves go through azama. The law is a nerogim. You cannot put these witnesses to death. Why? Because what do you want to put them to death for? Because they tried to get this treifa put to death. However, the law is shafilu hargu biyadeyem a nerogim. But they should treifa. Even should they have killed him, actually with their own hands, killed this person that's a treifa, the defendant, still they would not be put to death. Because since this person is a treifa, even should you kill a treifa, you still don't get the death penalty. So what they wanted to do is have him put to death through their false testimony. They might be called Adim Zayim, but you cannot put them to death because the defendant they were trying to kill was a treifa. This is when the defendant was a treifa. Let's say the witnesses were treifa. The Kena Adim Shahu treifa. Let's say the witnesses themselves had a disease of this sort, and they themselves were treif. They either bedaver shachayavin alav mizus bezdin, and they testified regarding a matter which was a capital punishment, mizus bezdin behuzmu. And then these witnesses went through azama. There were a second set of witnesses which came along and said that this first set of witnesses, who are the treifa ones that are not able to live for a long period of time, were with them at that time of testimony someplace else. The law is a nerogim. You cannot put these people who are today, you cannot put them to death, the first set of witnesses. Why? Because the problem is the second set of witnesses. How valid is their testimony? Is their testimony eidu sheyakol azima? As a general principle is that unless you are capable of doing hazama on a testimony, it is not valid testimony. So what would be with the testimony of the second set of witnesses? And a third set of witnesses would come and make hazama on the second set of witnesses. Would we accept it? The answer is we would not accept it. Because since the first set of witnesses are treifa, therefore, just as in the beginning of the halacha, you can just, if the second set of witnesses killed the first set with their hands, they also wouldn't be put to death. Because the first set of the witnesses is treifa. So just because they made false testimony, then you can't put them to death. Therefore, the second set of witnesses, it is impossible to do azama on them. And that's why they cannot be put to death. You cannot put the first group to death. She'im yuzmo zeyna meyem. If the eidim zeyna mean, the second set, they themselves were moved on by a third set, eidim zeyna meyem ne'erogim. Shalo yizim ala treifa. The zeyna meyem, meaning the second group, would never be put to death. Because all that happened was they themselves did hazama against the treifa. And therefore, they would not be put to death, because even if they killed them directly, they wouldn't be put to death. Therefore, the testimony of the second set of witnesses is eidah she'ef she'yata yachol azima, it is impossible to do azama. And since they testified about a treifa, it's impossible to do azama. Therefore, the testimony is unacceptable, and they cannot be put to death. The Kansas Mishnah points out that if this is so, what happened at the beginning of the halacha over here? The beginning of the second part of the halacha, that is. How could witnesses who were treifa testify against the defendant to put him to death? If the first set of witnesses are treifa, how can they testify against somebody who doesn't put to death? If they themselves are treifa, then the testimony of the first set of witnesses is the Yahuwah Hazima. You cannot sue Hazama on it. The Kesav Mishnah explained that it's possible at the time of the testimony the Bezdin did not know that they were treif, and therefore they accepted the testimony unwittingly, not knowing that there was any treif involved. Halacha Ches. Eidim she'idu al echad v'yirshiyu resha she'ein bei le'malkus v'le'misa v'le'chiyev mamein. Witnesses that testified against somebody, some sort of bad testimony, some negative testimony. However, it's something which does not involve lashes, and it wouldn't involve the death penalty, nor a payment of money. And after they make the testimony, Hazama took place. These witnesses are last, even though they didn't do Azamah. The witnesses that was Muzam was not to give this person lashes and not even to make him pay money. Kesem, how is this? Hey, Idu al Kayin Shu Cholo. Witnesses that testified regarding a Kayin that he is a Cholo, that he is a product of a marriage which was no good for a Kayin. Kogain Sheyidu Befanenu Nizgar Sheimai. Witnesses say that in our presence, his mother was divorced, and this was before he was born. So when the woman was married to one man, and then she got divorced from him, she got a get, and then she married a second man, and had this kain. And therefore the testimony is that this kain is a cholol, that since a kain is not allowed to marry a divorcee, therefore the children are called chololim. So these two witnesses testify that, and announce that the person is a cholol. Or in Nakwatsabam are complaining began pointing that there was a chalitza, a leveret, the opposite of a leveret marriage, a brother-in-law severing his connection with his sister-in-law. And this took place in such and such a time and such a place. And the law is that they did a tasting. That not only a kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, but by rabbinic law he is not allowed to marry a chalitza. And what happened after this testimony? The testimony which does not involve lashes or anything of the sort. For Uzma, the witnesses go through Hazama, are proved to have been impossible for them to see this event. Harehem Lakin, these witnesses are lashed. The Kenyan Heidu al Adim Shaharek Bishgog over Uzma. So too, if they testify that a certain person killed unintentionally, and then there is Hazama on these witnesses, Lakin the Enam Galin. You lash the witnesses, but you do not put them into exile. What did they hope to achieve by saying this person killed somebody for Shegig? They didn't hope to put him to death. What they hoped to do was have him sent into Golis, into the city of exile. You might think that the witnesses themselves are put into exile. The law is, however, not like that. They get lashes and not put into exile. Let's say, Heidu al Sheire Shozeh Shaharag HaNefesh Fahuzmu. They testified against a person's ox, that it killed a person. And as a result, the owner would have to pay kefir nafshe, would have to pay an amount as a kefir, as an atonement for the nefesh, which his ox killed. But Uzmu, and these witnesses go through Azama. Harihem Lakin, again they are lashed. They mishalmin as a kefir, and they are not forced to pay the kefir, the amount necessary for the kapara, for the atonement, because you cannot switch around this atonement. How can they be atoned if they don't have an ox which did anything? The atonement is for the owner of the ox. It's not going to help them to get any atonement of the pekefer. And so too, heidu alav shenim karba evedivri uhuzmu. If he testified against a person that he had been sold as a Jewish slave, he had run out of money and had himself sold as a Jewish slave, uhuzmu, the witnesses are after Hazama Lakin. So too in this case, the witnesses are lashed. But Vodim Elu, these four points which have been mentioned in Halacha Ches, Elu Mipi Akabolahim, they are all by the oral tradition from Har Sinai. And this is how we know that they are exceptions to the rules, and they are punished in a way other than what they intended to inflict on a defendant. Halacha Ches. Kach Kiblu Chachamim. So, thusly have our sages received in tradition. Two witnesses that had a tzaddik declared guilty in their judgment, or that had a rasha declared innocent in their judgment, and along come other witnesses and do azama, and they have the tzaddik declared a tzaddik, and the rasha declared a rasha. That was the same ones that threw Hazam on the first set of witnesses, straightened out the reality of the situation. The first set of witnesses are lashed. Even if they did not intend this righteous person to declare wicked for the sake of getting malchus, as we mentioned various examples in Halacha Ches, such as someone that they testified killed unintentionally and so on. They don't intend to have any sort of punishment inflicted, rather have them sent someplace else. If, however, they testify that the person ate milk and meat, or put on shatnez, a mixture of wool and linen, then they are lashed. The Lashon over here, the expression, and after it says avo, would seem to imply that there is some sort of distinction between the first half of the lach and the second half. However, in halacha, all of them are given lashes. Why then should it make this distinction between the first half and the second half? The Kesef Mishnah explains that all of the other categories in halacha ches, in the beginning of this halacha over here, any of the lashes that were given was because of the Kabbalah. As he said at the end of halacha ches, Abba Dvarim Eilu Iti HaKabbalahim, they're passed on by the Torah tradition, but we don't have them directly from Sukkim. This is not the case with over here when they testify as to the consumption of Basa Macholov or the wearing of Shatnez. In this case, the Malkus is based on a direct interpretation of the Pasuk. Mishum Shenemar, it says in Chumash, Vasitim Leik Asher Zaman, that you should do to him as he intended to do to someone else. And since no hints or interpretations are necessary, it's not Alpi Kabbalah. Therefore, it is in a different category than Rambam uses the word Avu. Now the final Allah in the Perek, Allah Yud. The law is that in general, in cases of adultery, both parties, the man and woman, are punished by the same death penalty. With the exception of a man who has relations with a Bas Kayin, who is married, and they commit adultery. In this case, although the man is put to death by choking, the woman is put to death by Sreifa, since she is a Bas Kayin. Now what happens to a witness or witnesses who testify as to such a relationship, and later on there was Hazama done? How is it we put these first Edim Zainim to death? Halacha Yud. Shnayim She'idu al Ruvein Shnaaf Im Bas Kayin. Two witnesses testify that Reuven committed adultery with the daughter of a Kayin. The Nigmar did Reuven Lachanik. And the judgment has been entered that Reuven should be put to death by choking. The din on Yefes was Treifa. And the woman adulteress, the Bas Kayin, is put to death by burning. And then we find these witnesses to be Zaymimin. What do you do with them? They are put to death like the Baal. Like Reuben is put to death through choking and are not killed by burning. But Davar Zemitia Kabbalah. And this is also learned by the oral tradition that passed down from Har Sinai. Thank you for tuning in for the daily portion of Rambam on the Line, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor a parrot, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for Perek Echad Ve'etzim.